even with the best academy that football has ever known, the expectation was never that a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old is going to lead this team to Champions League glory. La Liga is different. La Liga is different. But the expectation was not that Barcelona was going to be leading La Liga at this stage. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the 6-Yard Box Podcast, where today we are going over the recent Champions League games that have just gone on this week. We have an Arsenal fan here. We have a PSG fan here. Not a Barcelona fan, unfortunately. I am not that much of a bandwagon. All right, but we're here giving out some love, some criticism. We're going over just a little bit of the Europa League games today, and I'm joined once again by the lovely Blake and the lovely Antoine. Boys, I'm going to just say this. How are you feeling?
Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead.
I feel great. I feel very optimistic for
the final. Scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what, my hype going into the second leg?
Just how you feel.
My optimism for the final? We're looking at a solid 7.
Yeah?
A solid 7. Very solid 7.
I like that. Yourself, Blake?
I'm okay.
He's not okay.
I'm not too great.
He's not okay.
It's been a rough week of sports for me, I'm not going to lie. Was I on the verge of tears a couple nights ago after everything went down? Probably. Mm-hmm. Perchance I was.
Perchance you were?
Like,
let's give context here, because you're not only just a
I'm a Leaf fan too, and obviously the Leafs lost, and they're going to lose again tonight, and so it's just not fun.
Yeah.
They lost on the same day as Arsenal. I watched 5 motherfucking hours of my two favorite teams in the
world. That is crazy.
World. 5 hours,
yeah.
And I couldn't celebrate one single goal. Oof. Besides one that was offside.
And so, it didn't count?
It was tough for me. It was a tough day. I'm still getting over it, to be honest. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We'll get over it.
I'm sorry, dude. No, legit, that is really hard to go through.
On the day, Blake, I really did feel really bad.
I do.
Obviously, after the Arsenal game, I was like, fuck this guy.
Yeah, right,
but after the Leafs game, I was like, yeah, rough day for him.
I was like, I'm really scared for the Blake that we're going to get on pod.
Yeah, I texted him that. Yeah, I'm really scared.
Yeah.
I'm very nervous.
Well, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes.
Very nervous.
Shall we start with the elephant in the room, lads?
You wearing a Barca kit? Is that the elephant in the room?
I know, so glazed, bro.
That's not the elephant in the room.
What's the elephant in the room?
Flamengo kit. Is
it Flamengo? I thought it was Fluminense.
No, it's Flamengo.
Oh, right.
All right, that's a good start.
I've already fucked it up.
We wear jerseys every week. He wears a Barca kit. You've worn a Barca kit.
Yeah,
you know what kit I haven't worn in a long time that I think should
He's from Europe? Yeah. What?
Yeah, but he's lived in Europe. No, you didn't.
He's claiming Europe, by the way.
That's crazy. Have you ever lived in Europe?
Yes.
You did.
I was born there.
When did you move here again? When you were 5.
I was 6 years old.
That's close enough. Yeah.
I don't claim Europe like he claims Europe. However,
I have a French passport.
That's sexy as fuck.
I'm closer to Spain than he is.
Definitely not. I promise you you're not.
We're surrounded by Spain.
Yeah, I live on the border of Spain. I'm a 1-hour drive away from Spain.
How far are you from Barca? Where is Barca closer than
Portugal, because Barca's a little higher.
Geography. Okay, is it north?
Barca's higher.
Is it north?
Yeah, it's north. Yeah. Poor from you.
Poor from you.
Poor from you.
I do hate Spain with how much they've beaten on Portugal
in
competitions, to be fair. But you've worn a Barca kit.
I'm just kidding.
I was saying, the kit in my collection that I haven't brought out in a while?
Mm.
The Argentina Messi kit.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that kit. Mm. It's a great kit.
I have an Argentina
kit. Wore it one time.
And I don't wear it that crazily. But
I don't know if you turn around there, there's a particular player on the back of your...
Yes, we were kids on the back. That
kid is crazy for him being a normal fanboy for his whole life.
It is.
Claiming that he was better than Messi for the longest time until he won a World Cup.
But. Yeah. And what... Me wearing Messi's jersey does not conflict that.
Mm.
Well...
Is it only because of the World Cup that you really think Ronaldo or Messi's better? Let's stop this right now.
Not only, but
it's just not close.
It's just not. Let's address
I'm not
the elephant in the
room close.
That you were talking about. What is the elephant in the room that you were talking about?
The elephant in the room is the 6YB derby that we just had go on.
Yeah.
All right, so let's not deflect from it any longer, boys. I want to talk about the game that happened 2 days ago.
Right.
Arsenal hosting PSG. All right. Arteta giving me a speech saying, let's, what did he say?
We have to do this together. Some shit like
that. We have to do this together.
Lower your leg.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
But the passion was there.
Why?
I think it's in the frame.
Good. I want them to see my beauty. Okay,
the passion was there. The talent was there. The tifo wasn't quite there.
Oh my God! But, please hold on. Let's take a moment.
But let's touch on that a little bit.
Wow, that's a great display of fandom.
That was the club, though. That wasn't.
Was it the club?
It was the club.
That's a bad.
So they wanted, I'm pretty sure at least, like they wanted to make their own TIFO, but the club denied it and they...
Why would the club deny it?
Or something like that.
That's usually what happens. The supporter group of that section comes up with certain designs, presents it to the club. The club can either deny or accept it. I don't know.
It was brutal.
Why the club?
It was awful.
Maybe it was like a last minute replacement type of thing. Whatever. Just, yeah, you can't be doing that. And to be fair to you, there's a TIFO on the other side of the Emirates that looked quite decent. I don't know if you've seen it, but obviously the one that's going to get the most attention is the giant. What the fuck was that?
Just the crest.
Just crest. The secondary crest.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a plain red blanket.
That's poor.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's poor. And we're showing levels in the second leg, too. We're going to have a nice TIFO.
I know.
A very nice TIFO.
Flares and all. And yeah.
TIFO merchants.
Sorry. TIFO merchants?
Yeah. Can I talk about the fans a little bit? Because I didn't see the same passion, and I didn't see the Emirates rocking quite as much as I did in the Real Madrid tie. I feel like you guys brought it a little more on that one.
Really?
I thought the fans were fine.
Oh, I thought the fans were poor.
In the Real Madrid tie?
Oh, in the Real Madrid. No, they were good in the Real Madrid tie.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, to be honest, I wasn't focusing on the fans, so you could be right. It also didn't help that we were down 1-0 within 3 minutes.
But at the end of the day, like, the reason there's such a home advantage is because the fans are supposed to get behind you. I mean, the fact that we were hearing most of the PSG fans for the most of the game is kind of...
I feel like that's... You guys are just crazy. Like, the PSG fans are just ridiculous. Yeah. So, I mean, sure, you can slight the fans, but I don't have an opinion on it. I was not focusing on the fans at all during that match, but if you guys are telling me that they were bad, I'll believe you, and I'll say, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. How's your experience watching the game? Let's talk about that.
Not good. Really not good. Like, just not good. Like...
No?
Just in, like, it's just...
What made it so bad, though?
It's just so hard to go down within 3 minutes. Like, what a finish from Dembele. Like, he didn't get it cleanly, but he just placed it right in the corner. Nothing Raya can do.
Julian
stepped on a spider with his fucking sock.
Oh, he's a Black Widow.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah, he broke the table.
Black Widow in Canada, okay.
Actually, there is a Black Widow infestation in Innisfil.
Yeah, it's about this
really?
Big.
Really?
Yeah, in
Innisfil?
Yeah, in Innisfil.
The fuck?
I swear to God, it was like this big.
That's crazy.
It was not a Black Widow. Eat it. Don't make sure Corey doesn't eat it.
He has before. Corey will eat fucking...
That explains it.
Metal, bro.
See? Offside from him, but you let it slide. No. Anyway.
Anyways.
Not fun. I was so mad during so many points of this game. I don't even know where to start. I don't know where we want to start.
Well, let's go in chronological order.
So, obviously, the goal was fantastic from Dembele. You guys just came out rocking. Like, you guys came out wanting to play your way, wanting to control the game, and we just allowed it. And I think the biggest reason why that happened was because of the midfield balance was just off. We thought it would be fine with Marino dropping in. It just wasn't. Every second ball that we were winning against Real Madrid did not happen in that game against PSG, especially in the first 20 minutes. It was a shit show.
Mm.
It was a completely overrun midfield by PSG. The size that we had, albeit not known for their strength, the three guys in midfield, you guys absolutely bossed the midfield in the first 20 minutes.
Facts.
Let's go to the first goal because I think a lot of people are kind of ignoring the entire buildup of that goal and kind of are just focusing on the finish. But Dembele plays a role in that goal before his actual shot. And that's, I think, what messes up the back line later in the game. He drops back, drags Saliba with him. Nuno Mendes plays a great pass. It's kind of the same goal we saw against Liverpool early on in the the second leg.
True.
Where Dembele drops back, gets the ball in the midfield from Nuno Mendes, and then plays it out to Fabian, who has Kvara wide open on the wing. And then Kvara does his thing, passes it back to Dembele, where Declan Rice isn't marking him anymore because they tried to double team Kvaratskhelia. Declan Rice kind of runs toward Kvara when he's on the ball, when Jurrien Tabor is already on him.
Yeah.
And that leaves Dembele open, who ultimately finishes very, very well. But that cameo from Dembele where he gets the ball forward, gets the ball, comes deep to get the ball, that's happened all season, and that's why he's playing so, so well. And Luis Enrique has really transformed his game, and that's why he is in Ballon d'Or talks, because he provides much more to the game than he was before. Now, is he going to stay as a false nine for the entirety of his PSG career?
No.
I don't think so, because we're probably going to be looking to sign a striker. But the way that he is playing right now, I wouldn't mind if he stayed like that because it really, really complements his game.
Yeah.
And if you look now at the defensive work that he's doing, the pressing, the constant pressing on the center backs, on the goalkeeper, yeah, there's many times where David Raya had to play the long ball because Dembele was pressing him. You look at last year with a certain number nine that we had at the club who wasn't doing that pressing, right? Mm. And now the difference. It doesn't matter the level and the star and the status of the player that was pressing in Mbappe, or that wasn't pressing in that case. It doesn't matter what his level is. If you put in that defensive work, you are more useful to the team, and that's what Dembele is right now. Dembele is more useful to the team, for PSG's team, than Mbappe was last year. Mm-hmm. Last year, sure, there was pass to Mbappe and let him save you, but now it's everyone's pressing, everyone's defending. Kvaratskhelia's work rate, Doué's work rate, Dembele's work rate up front. It's incredible. It's incredible.
He's an absolute killer. I think his ability to use both feet also helps that a lot, but more than anything, it is the effort. It is the passion that not just him, but the entire team is putting forward. Like in the first 30 minutes of that game, I was ready to crown you guys, you know, Champions League champions already because the levels you guys showed was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Every time he lost the ball, there's instantly three guys on him. Exactly. The Arsenal players at home, crowd rocking, just beat Real Madrid, and you completely overwhelm them there. Completely. And like, if you guys can play anything like that at home, then it's wraps in this tie, genuinely. I want to talk about João Neves. I want to talk about Vitinha because that midfield pairing, unbelievable in this game. I know Partey being absent has an effect on that. I know. But we're still talking about Declan Rice, Martin Odegaard in that midfield, and Mikel Merino, who has had crazy success in this tournament. And those two guys, in particular João Neves in this game, just ran things. It's unbelievable how young and how promising those guys are. And
João Neves, man, seriously, he is... Wow. He must be so annoying to play against.
Oh, yeah.
So annoying. He's like a mosquito in the summer, bugging you every second. Every second you're on the ball, this guy is just picking at you. His defensive work rate is impeccable. This guy's 5'2", doing, not 5'2", but he's tiny, doing all this defensive work. He reminds me of a Marco Verratti, seriously.
100%.
He must be so annoying to play against, man.
Yeah.
He is constantly on you. The second PSG lose the ball, he's the one that initiates the press. He's the one that tells the team to get in shape, and he's the one that gets on the ball and tries to get the ball back.
100%.
You know the FIFA tactic, press after possession loss?
Yes.
He fucking initiates that. He seriously initiates that.
Go to.
That's a big point in this game that I want to bring up, is that we played Arsenal in the first half of the season in the Champions League. We got smashed 2-0 at the Emirates. Mm-hmm. It was a dominant performance from Arsenal, who scored two goals and defended very, very well. But I think the main difference from that game to this game now is the way that we were able to play out from the back. I don't think Arsenal were expecting us to be as successful playing out from the back compared to when we did last time.
Facts.
I remember last time in October when we played them, it was so hard to beat their press. Saka was pressing so hard. And I'm not saying he wasn't pressing this as hard in that game, but we have matured in our game so much, and now we know how to get past those intense presses. I really want to know, if we make the final, how we're going to get past Barca's press, because I think they're probably the best team at providing a high press and a constant press. But the way that we beat the press, the way that we were able to find the balls in the midfield where... Again, Dembele drops in or Fabian goes on a run. You were talking about the midfield with Vitinha and João Neves. You said specifically Vitinha and João Neves. But please, we need to start giving love to Fabian Ruiz. Everyone is talking about João Neves, Vitinha as the two best midfielders in that midfield. Sure, they're up there for sure. But man, Fabian Ruiz's first half and his entire game, but specifically his first half, I don't think he puts a foot wrong. He is in every right position. He makes every right move. Mm-hmm. He is in every correct movement for PSG. He does not put a foot wrong. Yep. And I don't see enough people talking about it, because this is a guy that a couple years ago was getting scrutinized for his game. A couple months ago, even in the first half of the season, getting scrutinized by PSG's fans for his poor performances. And sure, they were justified because he wasn't having the best performances. But ever since the Euros, when we saw his potential that he could bring to a team and the team player that he can be, and the level that he is putting forward in his second half of the season, it is truly impeccable. I mean, you look at the second half of the season for some of these players, I think Fabian Ruiz is having probably the top three best second half of the season in PSG's whole team. Mm. It's Donnarumma, it's Dembele, and it's Fabian Ruiz. Mm-hmm. Nobody is talking about Fabian Ruiz, and we seriously need to start talking about him. Because if he keeps going under the radar, if these teams keep ignoring him, he's going to make you pay. And he made Arsenal pay in the first half. He seriously did.
Yeah, your whole team did. Your whole team, especially the first 30 minutes. Like, we're going to get into the period of the game where Arsenal did kind of look like the better side there. But I think especially for the first 30, 35-ish minutes, like, you guys looked like playing some of the best football I've ever seen, genuinely. I don't mean to be hyperbolic, but the way that you just slap those guys around is insane. Like, yeah. Your system and everything,
to be fair,
the way you work as a unit, mental.
The way you guys are talking, to play devil's advocate, you'd think that you guys won the game like 3-0 or something.
It was a 1-0 game. Let's be honest, it could have also been a 3-0 game.
Could have also been a 3-2 game.
Fair enough. Because the second half is a completely different story.
Exactly. But I'm not denying anything you guys are saying about the first 20, 25 minutes. Fair.
Yeah.
But I do want to say that while your team is different than when we played you in, what was it, November?
October, whatever.
So is Arsenal. Completely different. And I sent Julian a TikTok by my favorite TikToker, Ollie, or whoever it is, the Crystal Palace Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
But I think the points are valid. So I'm going to essentially go through what he said. Arsenal going into the Champions League had a system of the normal starting 11 that they have, right? Both the strikers get injured. What do you do now? Okay, Marino goes up front. Amazing. Oh, no. So that means your whole system has to get changed already. That's one massive change to the system. Then Gabriel gets hurt. Another system that needs to be changed because Kibio has to go in. Gabriel is one of the most attacking and best attacking center backs, defenders in the entire world of football. Okay, Kibior comes in, does a great job. Amazing. But there's another thing that has to get changed. Okay. Now Partey gets suspended. Again, albeit his fault. Well, Rudiger's fault because he's a pussy. But Partey's fault. Okay. Now you have to change the system once again. There's been a lot of changing in this Arsenal system within the past couple of months. And we're in the position now where ultimately we have to just win. I can't use it as an excuse. I can use it as a reason why it didn't go as well as we should have. But at the end of the day, we have to just find a way to win.
But the identity of football remains the same, Blake. It doesn't matter how many times you change the system. Arsenal have their way of playing.
That is true.
No, but...
And yes, you're going to be a worse side without Havertz, without Gabriel, without Partey in this game. And it is a valid narrative. It is a valid narrative.
It doesn't
take away from the fact that...
I wasn't saying that. I never said it was taking away. I said we're at the point where we have to win no matter what.
Facts.
And I never said we didn't.
And I think you guys are still a fantastic team without those pieces.
Which is why, I want to give credit to this team. Like, it's kind of amazing that we're here after everything we've gone through this season. And you're about to laugh and you're about to whatever, but it's true. Like, it's fucking incredible. Like, it is, guys. No strikers, our best defenders out, both of our two best players, albeit Odegaard's played awful this season. Yeah. We can talk about
that's
him.
That's what we, yeah.
But this has been like one of the worst seasons injury wise, like just luck wise that this club has had in so long. And we're in a Champions League semifinal, have the opportunity to win in the second leg. Like, it's a lot to be proud of.
It is a lot to be proud of. It proves that you guys are a resilient team that doesn't give up after inconveniences. It's something that should be praised. But you are in a Champions League semifinal. You did not play like you were in a Champions League semifinal. A lot of players did not play like they were supposed to play in a Champions League semifinals, notably Odegaard. I don't think Marino had the best game either. You had a couple
players. Because he's not playing in a system that he's used to anymore. He's playing at striker.
He's a natural midfielder.
He's been playing at striker for the last 2 months.
At some point, you played your entire career. You came up as a midfielder.
Sure.
You can't say that just because for 2 months he played as a false nine.
No, I fucking can. No, and 2 weeks ago, we were praising him because he's doing well at striker, particularly in a role that he's not used to.
Yeah, and because he's thriving in that role because that's what he's used to at the time. Sure, he still should have played better.
He's not used to being
a striker. But what Trossard did in that game was unacceptable. He's on the field for one fucking job, to score the chances that he receives. And he did not score the biggest chance in the game. That's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
With Marino there, that chance probably doesn't happen. But what it does do is it allows Partey back in, assuming he's injured. So if I'm going on to the next game, the whole game is different. Because we have our focal point up top, like we did with Havertz. Now it is Marino. And we have the ability to play Declan Rice further up the field. And it's completely different. So I'm saying, while you can say that, your players need to play better, sure. But you guys also have no injuries and have your full squad available to you. You have nothing wrong. You can play whatever you want. We had to adapt and change, which is why I think we didn't play as well as we could have. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have. It just means that that's why I think it didn't happen the way we should have done it.
It's another way to look at it than I am. I don't know, Blake. It's a Champions League semifinal. I don't think there's an excuse. No matter what system you play, no matter what, you just can't say that. Mourinho has been a center mid his entire career.
I'm not discrediting PSG at all. I'm just saying
and the fact of the matter is, when you brought Mourinho in the summer, the ideal midfield was thought of to be Rice,
sure, him. But Odegaard. Why can I not just say that we missed Partey? Why is that? No,
you
bad.
Did. You absolutely did. Yeah. The stability that Partey brings, his ability to win balls back when you need to, it's great. And you guys did miss him. But you cannot use that as...
Yes, I can.
No, you can't. Yes, I can. You can't. Because the players that are replacing him, specifically Mourinho, in his position, should have done better. And Trossard also should have done better because that is his natural position. That is where he's supposed to play. Facts. That is where he's
learned to play. Trossard's not a natural striker.
It doesn't matter. He's an attacking player.
No, it's not. He's not a natural striker. What,
so you're telling me
he's not a natural striker any less than Mourinho is a natural striker.
Yeah, but Mourinho's been playing better in that position. Why is me bringing up the fact that our system could not be the way it used to be? Not only did Mourinho... So Mourinho had to drop... One thing wrong. Trossard had to go in the center. Two things wrong. And Rice couldn't play the number eight. Three things wrong. That's three positions that were misguided from what they used to be. And why is that such a horrible thing for me to say that I think if we had Partey in that position, it's a different game. Maybe we still win, but we play better. Why is that such a terrible thing to say? PSG still fucking won. PSG still deserved to win. They finished their chances. They were better in the first half. Their goalie was better.
Mm-hmm.
Why can I not just say that the player that we missed had an effect on the game? Why is that so hard? Why is that so bad to say? Sure, it's an excuse. Whatever. You guys deserve to win. But that's how we work. That's why we're on this podcast, is to talk about what happened in the game, what we think could have gone better, what we think went wrong. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm doing. Why is that so hard? Why is that bad?
It's not hard.
PSG deserved to win. You guys were better.
Yeah.
Your attacking players were better.
Yeah.
I'll say it a million times.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's wrong of me to say that we missed Partey and that three of our positions were mismanaged because of the injuries that we have and because of the suspension.
Yes, but no excuses.
If you lose a game, do you come on the fucking thing and just say, you know what, we lost? Is that what you want me to do? I could do that. I can shut up and not say anything anymore. What do you want from me here, boys? What do you want from me? Like, I'm mad we lost. I'm trying to conceptualize what we can do better and what would have happened if something else. Why we have a podcast.
I like that conversation. I like that I do think Partey coming back will make a difference. Maybe not tie-breaking difference, but it'll be an improvement on what you currently have. I'll give that to you.
I see where you're coming from with all this. I totally agree with you. I just think there's a lack of putting the blame on the players that were on the pitch when it mattered, on the day of.
Mm. Yeah.
I can put blame on players.
Let's talk about Odegaard.
Yeah, he's awful. Awful.
Do you think he was rushed too quickly back from his injury?
Nope.
No, you just think straight up he's awful?
He's playing awful this season. He's a possession merchant, has no precision on his passes, does not know how to finish. He doesn't shoot when he should. He's awful. He's a shell of his former self, and that's a player that even with Partey in, obviously did not do well enough, or would not have done well enough. And
I don't think I think he shies away in some of these big moments, as in he may not want to show for the ball as much. He may not have that confidence on the ball to, you know, pirouette around players like we're used to seeing him do. He doesn't have, it seems like he doesn't have the same vision that he usually does. It just seems like he doesn't want to be there sometimes. And if you want to be winning these big trophies, you cannot have a player there in a pivotal position that has even that subconscious mentality. I'm sure in the dressing room, he's a fantastic character and he will be riled up and he will say all the right things. But when it's something that plays in the back of your mind, there's almost nothing you could do about it. And it comes in waves, you know, like Kai Havertz, it comes in waves, the confidence and the subtle impacts it has on your performance on a micro macro scale. It comes in waves. You know, this is just a low wave for Odegaard. Like, it's a high one for Rice or Saka or Mourinho, like a lot of other players in your team. But it's the luck of the draw sometimes that has to come with everybody, and it's not coming with Odegaard.
Yeah, he's awful right now.
He is awful right now. Yeah. He is. And I don't want to bring up the him and Bruno debate. I'm going to make this a very quick point. But my point with him and Bruno is I think Odegaard is a technically better player that looks much better on the eyes, 100%. However, Bruno just has that intangible thing that you want to lead a team and be someone that you could rely on.
Okay.
How are we going to this?
Yeah, sure. We can move on.
And that's all we're going to say about that. That's all we're going to say about that.
14th. Wow. Great job.
A team that would be relegated if it wasn't for him.
Big fish, small pond. Like, good job.
Sure. Big fish. Whatever. Big fish. Sure. Small fish and big pond.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so other thoughts on the game. We can go back to PSG if you want, but I think Raya is like the best ball playing keeper.
That was probably
He's fantastic. For sure.
The long ball was played a lot, and a lot of the times it was very accurate. Very accurate. Disgusting. I think they were just banking on a mistake from one of our center backs, which ultimately didn't come.
Yeah.
But I thought that if they kept pushing, if they kept playing that long ball, it might have actually came.
And I thought Saka had an okay game. Like, I don't think he was crazy.
I don't think he had a bad game either. Yeah.
I think all your, especially in the first half, all your most dangerous chances came from Saka just putting the team on his back.
Yeah. And then the one thing I'll just get it through now, the fall from Nuno Mendes really gets on my nerves because it's just like, look, it's just a thing in the game. It's a microcosm. But if it goes our way, then it's a really big moment. And it wasn't a foul. And do you think it was a foul?
I don't think it was a foul. I think he trips, but you can't blame that on Nuno Mendes. It's the ref that calls it.
It's just like, it's literally just like the VAR pen. There is contact, technically, like there was with Rice on Mbappe. The same thing for that. But he falls so easily trying to simulate that contact that I think with the VAR penalty, it shouldn't be a penalty because he goes down way too easily when he has an open shot.
Actually, I think if they go to VAR for that, they give a penalty. If they
the Timber one?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, fair. I disagree.
I think so.
And then I think with Nuno Mendes, yes, there is a push on the back, but not enough to make him fall.
It was more of like, it was barely even a push.
But exactly. Yeah. It's normal contact in football.
It's just frustrating. Like, again, we can just move on from
it. And that comes from Raya being very good with his feet. And
it's just frustrating because it's a huge moment that could have changed the tide. And I do think it wrongfully went in favor of PSG. Whatever. Is there any other player?
I want to give love to Donnarumma.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
But more specifically, first the defensive performance that we put out on Tuesday.
Yes,
I have rarely seen a PSG team not concede a goal after being succumbed by so much pressure.
Oh yeah,
in the game, especially in the second half, Arsenal were really pushing. They're probably the team that were dictating the play most of the time in the second half. You could tell they wanted that goal. The goal comes early in the second half. But it was ultimately disallowed. I think we still have a little bit of frailties in defending set pieces, which could be exploited in the second leg. But all things considered, I thought we had a great defensive performance. Wasn't many mistakes at all. Maybe one Hakimi mistake there. Marquinhos played very well. I thought he was going to be a little shaky against Arsenal. But no, all in all, we played very good defensively. And now we can get on to Donnarumma, who helped us play very good defensively, man. What a keeper.
Those are the moments that we need the Champions League, man. What a player. Genuinely.
You need a goalkeeper of Donnarumma's stature to win Champions Leagues.
Yep.
You look at all the best Champions League winning teams, they had a special keeper that saved them in the toughest moments. And Donnarumma is doing just that. He's the best goalkeeper in the Champions League this season, in the knockout stages at least.
Yep.
There's no question about it. He had one mistake against Liverpool in the first leg of their tie. And apart from that, it's been consistent and consistently great. It's not just decent saves. He's pulling out great, great saves, incredible saves. You think of Rashford the Rashford one in the second leg. Mm-hmm. You think of both shots from Martinelli and Trossard here. You think of Liverpool's penalty saves. There's so many instances where Donnarumma showed up and saved PSG and provided faith for this PSG side to move on, where it's incredible. Yeah. And I think if PSG do win this Champions League, they're going to have to owe a big one to Donnarumma, because there's many instances where they could be out and where they could have been eliminated if it wasn't for him.
100%. 100%. That Martinelli save, beautiful. That Trossard save, even better.
Yeah, it was good.
That comes from a fantastic moment from Rice, who showed traits of if he was in the middle of that midfield, maybe he could have done more damage.
So
I don't know.
He's so good.
But running through and then playing that ball in.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
I find it so impressive how quick he gets down. This guy is almost 7 foot. This motherfucker is 7'8". And he gets down, and I think there was a stat. He reacted to Martinelli's shot in 0.4 seconds or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
How do you get down that fast being that tall? Man, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And he still gets a hand to it. It's
wow. Him and Raya were incredible in this game. I think an underrated – that Raya save on Doué, I think, is a very good one, too. Again, it's the speed at which he gets down.
Yeah. I thought Doué didn't have a great game, to be honest.
Doué
– I thought he tried a lot of unnecessary things.
I agree.
But, again, a lot of people are looking at his performance as a not very good attacking performance, but you have to look at it from an objective point of view, and the entire game itself, his defensive actions in that game are very good.
Sure.
They are very good. True. There are many times where Martinelli has the ball on the left wing and he comes back and he defends and he helps Hakimi there. There's many times where he picks up the ball in the midfield and kind of drives forward, draws a foul, notably from Marino, and when he gets the ball kind of on his side of the pitch, and he kind of drives forward, gets the foul from Marino, where PSG were kind of undergoing a lot of pressure. There's many times in the game where he does that. And sure, he doesn't have the best attacking performance, but he still has a good performance, in my opinion. He doesn't have a bad game in general.
Fair.
Kvaratskhelia too. What a player. What a player with crazy work rate. Man, if his midfielders don't see him doing that and are proud, then I don't know what.
We can give love to your entire team. Like,
yeah. we can be here all day. Those.
Again, there is a sense of jobs not finished.
Absolutely.
However,
absolutely. We need to play this. If anyone thinks that PSG have completed the tie and are through to the final, then they're fools because they don't know PSG's DNA in the Champions League. This happened many times.
Mm-hmm.
Happened many times.
At home as well.
At home as well.
Yes.
So the first time PSG has ever won a semifinal game that is two legs. Basically, yeah.
What?
Well, we won a semifinal game against Leipzig in 2020 to go to the final, but it was one leg.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's the first time that we've actually won a game in the semifinal, that is two legs.
Hmm. Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, shit. That's a little bit of a sad stat, but
I don't know. Just real quick on Luis Enrique before we move on to to the biggest game of the week, the most entertaining one of the week. Luis Enrique's job for PSG, it's incredible. How quick have we seen a turnaround from a team ever?
Yeah.
I remember last year, everybody were saying that PSG were going to be so much worse without Mbappe. Their best player is leaving. They're going to be a shell of themselves. They're not going to play as good. Luis Enrique says no. This is the first time in PSG's history where the coach is the star of the team. There's no actual star in the team. Everyone plays as a team, and the star is the coach.
Yeah.
And that's what makes you win Champions League.
Yeah.
The turnaround that this coach has brought to this team, and it goes to the sporting director too. It goes to Luis Campos and even Leonardo, who signs key players in this team. It goes to them too, but man, the identity that Luis Enrique has brought to this team, it seriously seems like they're a family. They're boys playing, kicking ball around, and they're smashing every team and dominating every team when they're doing it. It's incredible.
It is. It is. How are you guys feeling for the second leg? Any early predictions for it?
I want to believe. I think I can believe.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be
I think it's still a very 50-50 going into Paris.
I don't think it's 50-50. I think it's 65-35. 65-35. 35. Wow. My math lately has been fucking it's atrocious.
Okay. It's okay.
What about you?
Like I said to Antoine when I walked in here, I'm on Pessimistic Parkway. So,
so you're going to say like 80% PSG?
I think we either make it a game or we get shut out. So
that's, yeah.
Excited to see Party back.
I am too. You guys may be not excited after yelling at me for bringing it up, but.
No, we weren't.
Didn't yell.
I'm just, I don't know. I'm just, it's just hard hearing. It's just hard to be on this podcast right now. And like,
we get it.
Just listen to everyone. Like you guys, like I said, they deserve all the praise. It's just hard to like listen to it back. So I don't know. Hopefully we get a result. Like, I could see going to extra time and us losing on penalties, to be honest. But I don't really want it to go to extra time. I think it'd be good to go to extra time. Like, I think it's probably over for us.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like we got to win it in regulation. Is that what they call it in
football? Normal time.
Normal time. For it to for have a chance. I mean, I don't trust penalties, especially with Donnarumma in net. So we'll see. Hopefully we get it done.
If you guys bring it to extra time, the momentum is with you because you have to be winning the game at that moment.
Yeah, you'd think. But like I said, pessimistic Parkway. So
I want to point out how at every pivotal moment of Bukayo Saka's career, Donnarumma has been there to spoil the party.
I saw a meme on Twitter about that.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Just two pivotal moments. The final in this one.
Well, yeah, but.
The most pivotal moments of Saka's career.
Fair.
Yeah. All right, shall we move on to Barcelona versus Inter Milan, boys?
Let's do it. What a game.
What a fantastic game this was.
Wow. Like, such good publicity for football, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it makes me excited for either team to be in the Champions League final. Again, my ideal Champions League final is PSG versus
Barcelona,
but my predicted one was always Inter versus Arsenal. I don't know how those are going to go. 30 seconds of the game, Marcus Thuram with a beautiful little...
Who said Marcus Thuram? You said Marcus Thuram. Yeah.
What?
Off camera yesterday or the other last week. I said he was... what was the word?
Why you say shit? I don't know.
No, it was overrated.
Oh.
He might be underrated. He might be underrated.
My prediction for Arsenal PSG was, I quote, 1-0 Arsenal, Dembele struggles.
Fair.
Yeah, true. True.
6-5 be cursed, man. Yeah. 6-5 be cursed. Or we just have bad ball knowledge.
Yeah.
Probably the latter.
Probably. Anyways, fantastic game once again. Inter up 2-0 within not even like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Something 20 like
minutes,
that.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
Denzel Dumfries with a beautiful bicycle kick effort to make it 2-0 to Inter.
Barca,
who expected that?
Barca on corner is like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
It's rough.
True.
It was rough.
True.
I mean, they're very clinical, Inter. There's a stat that says that Inter have scored more from corners this season than Arsenal have.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you have Calhanoglu on corners, then I think
I don't see the Inter set piece coach.
Underrated.
Sorry,
I don't see Inter set piece coach.
Yeah, fair. Great point. Actually, I don't see them cutting to Cam 2 on Inter set piece coach going.
Could Nicolas Jover coach 100 men to beat a gorilla?
Oh my god. maybe later in the pod. Maybe later in the pod. What, Blake?
Nothing. Go.
Okay.
Go ahead. Continue talking about Barcelona Inter.
No, but
somehow go back.
If you have Calhanoglu on set pieces, you're good, man. You don't need to worry about
a ball going to Rosie. Yeah.
What a player.
Yeah.
What
that's a
player.
Big factor
especially
in set
pieces
as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Underrated, some would say.
I think he's perfectly
rated. I think he gets a lot of love outside this podcast, I have to
say. He does.
I think he doesn't take up as much real estate as he should in our minds, but
I always think about him. That goal.
Anyways, after the 20-minute mark, the 17-year-old on the pitch just said, give me the fucking ball.
Oh, my God.
And he pulls out another worldie, almost scores another one right after that, after putting DiMarco on his ass.
DiMarco.
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
that's a Yamal signature move right there.
DiMarco's game, lads. Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He was rough.
If these kids are watching, they're crying. They're crying in front of the TV.
I feel like he was out of position a lot, too.
That's just Inter.
Fair.
Yeah.
But I felt like he, especially like, there was a lot of times where I guess he just travel forward, but he was just like all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they play wingbacks, so that's probably the position that's
exactly,
the most.
Exactly.
Right?
That's just Inter. And then eventually it's a Pedri with a beautiful ball into Rafinha, into Ferran Torres with an easy finish past Yann Sommer.
Yeah. Great
and
team.
And all of a sudden it's 2-2. Just like that. And I love this game. And later in the game, it was the corner again.
Again, yeah.
It was Dumfries with a brace. And then Rafinha said, give me the fucking ball. And
pops one.
And what was technically an
absolute
goal.
Missile.
Technically an own goal.
Yeah.
Technically an own goal. But another big Rafinha moment that's going to boost his chances in the Ballon d'Or. Yeah.
So, later in the game, too, he strikes another one that almost goes in.
Yeah.
I need everybody that is telling me that football is boring nowadays and that this season is not good to watch to assemble and show me this Inter-Barca game and tell me that point again.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, like, this is football. Football is is so back. Was it ever gone?
Yes.
The entertainers that we have
when Pep City are in a down year, look what happens. All I'm going to say.
The entertainers that we have this year, the list can go on and on and on and
it
on.
It really can, yeah.
Lamine Yamal specifically, man. Oh, yeah, he's so good. God.
I was so wrong about
the fact that a 17-year-old who just made his debut just like 2 years and a couple of days ago is arguably the best player on the planet.
I think he is. I think he's the best player in the world.
Really?
I think he's the best player in the world.
But the fact that he's even in that conversation at 17.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If he follows a traditional career, he should be playing in the youth league. He should be the one two days ago, I think Barca played in the youth league final. He should be on that team. Yeah. But no, he's in Barcelona's first team, scoring week in, week out, delivering performances week in, week out, reacting to bad scores week in, week out. You look at, was it Celta Vigo where they won 4-3? Mm-hmm. They were down 3-1. Who was the one that was reacting? It was Lamine Yamal. Yeah. You look at the El Clasico, they were down 2-1. Who was the one that reacted? It was Lamine Yamal. And now you look at the Inter game against Barcelona. They were down 2-0. Who was the one that reacted? It's Lamine Yamal. In the big games,
ridiculous.
He is insane. And those three games, they're all from three different competitions. Mm-hmm. So it's consistency throughout every single competition mm-hmm. that he's in.
Yeah.
It's insane. When have we ever seen that?
He's
the best minor of all time. Let's put it that way.
All right. The best little boy of all time.
He is the best teenager of all time.
100%.
And I think what it is it's such a mentality thing. Like, to be that good at that young of an age, you have to have the mental fortitude to believe that you belong and to believe that you're fucking better than everyone else.
And it's one thing to believe that you belong there. Like, we can go over a bunch of teenagers that have that mentality, right? Like, we've given praise to a bunch of them, right? Mm-hmm. It's a whole other thing to go beyond, I'm not just here. I'm not here to take part. I'm here to take over.
Yeah.
I'm literally the best in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to throw it back to you in a second, Blake. But what he said about the Real Madrid game, after the Real Madrid game, how he said, literally, just quite literally, these motherfuckers can't beat us this year.
They can't.
And until they do, I'm going to keep talking. Mm-hmm. And I love players with that mentality. And listen, if for when he does lose to Madrid or he does lose on the biggest stage, then yeah, he is going to get a little bit hate because it is arrogance at the end of the day. But you have to praise arrogance when the motherfucker is backing it up. And that's what he's doing right now. And that mentality is so admirable. When he has, it's like he has the mentality of Ronaldo with the talent of Messi. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, but I've heard that so much. Messi and Ronaldo at 17 years old were shells of this.
Messi at Lamine Yamal's age had played 7 games for Barcelona. Lamine Yamal just played his 100th game for Barcelona.
Unfucking real. And Ronaldo didn't really fucking show Ronaldo hit like those levels until he was like 20-ish, maybe. It's absolutely fucking unreal. Absolutely unreal. Like, there has been one player since Messi and Ronaldo that's given me a little bit of hope that, okay, maybe he can reach those levels. And it was Kylian Mbappe. And I can say in 2025, okay, he's a fantastic player, don't get me wrong, but he's not going to get there.
No, he's not.
Maybe Haaland gets there, but even then, like, it's not the same thing. Lamine Yamal has a fantastic shot of being there.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic shot of being there.
There's a world in which in 10 years, in 15 years, we look at this guy and we consider him as the GOAT. I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
There's a genuine chance. When have we ever seen this, Blake?
We have never seen this ever.
Yeah, as a teenager, but you've also never seen Messi score 91 goals in a calendar year.
Absolutely.
So let's mm-hmm. chill. Absolutely. I'm not saying that he can't be the
best. If he continues the trajectory that he is on, there won't be a fucking debate at that point.
Sure,
man.
But you guys are high on him. I am too. Obviously, I was a late bloomer to that because I have my own biases, whatever. But I'm not going to sit here and just let the greatest player of our generation, the greatest player of all time, get those shouts or get those accusations when Messi is who Messi is. I'm going to play devil's advocate on this podcast because I
totally.
Can.
We're definitely getting ahead of ourselves, yeah. But
I have to. It's my duty.
I see it.
Sure, happening. And I do too. He's fucking insane.
He's ridiculous.
Like, he's insane. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. I didn't see it sooner. Like, it's crazy.
The fact that Barcelona went down 2-0, just are giving the ball to this guy and say, save us. We're getting drowned right now by Inter. And he just takes on every single player on the pitch. Doesn't matter. Curler here, curler there. Almost two beautiful goals. One gorgeous goal. Second one hits the bar. Man, like, how can you compete?
Yeah.
We're talking about one of the best left backs in the world in DiMarco was put on his ass. Yeah. He was embarrassed yesterday.
Yeah.
No one is talking about. He was embarrassed. If he steps onto a pitch with the same mentality that he had, it's impossible for him to step onto the pitch with the same mentality he had when he was regarded as one of the best left backs in the world. It's impossible. Lamine Yamal killed him. I don't care. It's impossible. He was on his ass. He had a horrible game, and that's all thanks or all because of Lamine Yamal.
Look, the actual percentage chance, what's the actual percentage chance that Lamine Yamal becomes the GOAT? I would say 5%. There's a lot of things that can go wrong in the next 20 years for him.
Absolutely.
But the fact that he even has 1% or more is just a testament to how good he is at 17 years old. Like, he could be overplaying at this age. He could get injured down the line.
That's what I'm scared of.
Like, he could be overplayed. Like, odd comparison, but Marcus Rashford was blowing it up as a teenager for Man United, but a gross but then became a shit player because
are we not allowing Marcus Rashford Lamine Yamal comparisons on this podcast?
He brought in the Bruno thing, he had to slip it in, then he puts in this shit. That's crazy.
Oh no.
All right, fine, I'll use a better comparison. Wayne Rooney coming through for United. Wayne Rooney was played a bunch as a teenager.
Why do you hate United? But then, why do you hate United? Why of all teams?
Am I not allowed to talk about teenagers being overplayed as teenagers?
Go ahead.
And is it that bad that I know a lot more about United because I'm a United fan, so I bring up examples of those teams? Enough. I'm not comparing the talent of 18-year-old Marcus Rashford versus 17-year-old Lamine Yamal. I'm not comparing Rooney to him or any other fucking player right now. All I'm saying is there's been players that have come through that have played so many games as a teenager, and because of that, their legs are gone by 26.
Yeah, that's definitely
that's a possibility here.
That's what
it's
I'm
a possibility
of.
Here.
For sure.
That's
all when I'm saying. See Barcelona giving him the ball and saying, save us, there's that sense of why is Lamine Yamal the only guy you're depending on? Why is Lamine Yamal the only player that can save you in these moments? You can look at it from that angle where if he keeps on playing and if he keeps on getting abused and abused by Hansi Flick, where he's literally the only player you can depend on, or else there's no coherence in the team. I mean, we saw it in December when he was injured. Barcelona had a very, very bad run of form when he was gone. Mm-hmm. But when he's back, they're playing incredible. If when he's not there, you're playing poorly, that means that you need to utilize him at every opportunity you get. And at his young age, that could prove to be detrimental to him.
Yes.
We saw it with Pedri, low-key, a couple years ago.
That's a good point.
That we saw with Pedri when he was getting abused by their coach. I don't know if it was Koeman back then.
It was Koeman, and it was also Spain as well.
It was Spain, exactly.
He played at the Olympics, the Euros, the World Cup,
80 matches in a
something
season.
Stupid, bro. There's a picture of him like looking all old.
Yes.
No, you know, so can I bring up the thing I was talking about before the podcast?
Go ahead.
I just think that this Barcelona, not Lamine Yamal. No, I just think this Barcelona love is like really blown out of proportion. Because like, why is it so crazy that the best team with the best youth academy known, like, you don't know what youth academies are called, but I know like La Masia, like I know what that is. And most football fans do. So why is it so crazy that the best team in the world right now, we can maybe say that they're the best team in the world right now, but the team with like the second most history compared to only Real Madrid, who has had the best player in the world playing for them for 15 years or however long it was. Why is it so crazy that once he left, they took a couple of years off, even though they still won La Liga titles, but now they're back into the spotlight and it's like, oh my God, this Barcelona team. Like, they should be that good. It's Barcelona. They have all the pull in the world. They have all the resources in the world. They have the best youth academy in the world.
They don't have all the resources in the world. And that's why a lot of people...
Okay, the money thing, sure.
Because look at their financial situation.
Mio, that they two, 3 years ago. It's their own doing.
But then you have to praise their success now.
Sure, but...
Look, bro, 3 years ago, you had Mingueza at center back and Ezzalzouli playing right wing. Like, no.
Exactly.
What has allowed them to come back? Their youth academy. Of course. It's on the scout. It's on the club to find those players to like accent those players and utilize them in their team in the proper ways.
Yeah.
But if there was any team to get youth academy players to this high of a level into their squad, it would be Barcelona.
Yes. But I don't understand what are you trying to take away from that?
Like, I'm just saying, like, I feel like, sure, from the financial point of view, you can be like, look, what they've done is insane. But in my opinion, one, that's self-inflicted. Two,
by a former president.
And it's still self-inflicted by the club that, even if it's a former president, still was his doing, still was the club's doing. Their youth academy, while I don't see why it's like such a surprise that they're back on top.
It's a surprise because they looked miles off it even 12 months ago.
I don't even think it's a surprise. Rafinha
was not half the player he is right now. They had Xavi in, who was lauded as a really good manager, but even he couldn't fix the situation.
He won a La Liga title with them, Julian.
But we're talking about the Champions League and actually being one of the best teams in Europe. They won.
If you are a La Liga champion, you're one of the best teams in Europe, Julian.
They won in Xavi's first year. That was also the same year they got bounced in the Europa League. That was also a really down year for Real Madrid in La Liga. And the
so you're playing revisionist history.
No, I'm not playing revisionist history. What's so fucking
he won La Liga with them.
Yes, and the next year they were fucking horrendous.
Oh, but my point is that they've still been good over... They still had moments of brilliance, per se, over this timeline. Again, we are going to go back and forth this forever so we can move on. I just think that they're amazing right now. There's nothing to deny that. But looking from where they were to where they are now, I don't see how it's that much of a surprise when somehow they figured out how to sign Dani Olmo on. Do you guys know how that worked? Because what I thought it was going to be that he couldn't be registered as a La Liga player.
They sold 25% of their future TV deals.
And was it ever in doubt? No, because they're one of the biggest fucking clubs in the world. That's how these things work. Money doesn't really...
They're still in financial crisis.
Of course they are. And look at their fucking payroll. I'm sure it's amazing. They have
Lewa,
Rafinha.
That makes what they're doing right now all the better. Because the expectation was not that Barcelona was going to challenge. But they still
somehow find a way to make the money work because it's Barcelona, because they are the biggest fucking club, one of the biggest clubs in the world.
They're still struggling financially.
Absolutely, but they made it work because they have the means to do so.
Okay, but they don't really have the means.
But they do because they're doing it. What do you mean they don't? They are because they're doing it.
Yes, but even with the best academy that football has ever known, the expectation was never that a 17-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old is going to lead this team to Champions League glory. La Liga is different. La Liga is different. But the expectation was not that Barcelona was going to be leading La Liga at this stage. It was not that they were going to be in the semifinals of the Champions League. It was not that they were going to challenge Real Madrid, the Galacticos of Real Madrid, in any which way possible this season. That was not the expectation, especially coming off of last year. So it's not just that Barcelona were bad last year, we're playing revisionist history. It was the fact that they are this much better than the other side of the coin in La Liga, which is Real Madrid. Nobody, and I mean nobody, even the diehardest of Barcelona fans, thought that they're going to be this much better. Not just better at all, but this much better than Real Madrid, Atleti, all these teams. The expectation was not there for Barcelona. We were expecting progression. We were expecting them to be better under Hansi Flick. We were expecting improvements from Rafinha, Lamine Yamal, Pedri, Casado, all of these guys, but not to this level. Not even close to this level. If they win the Champions League with teenagers, a 17-year-old leading the line, there's 5 minutes left in the Champions League semifinal against Inter Milan, one of the best teams in Europe, and they are feeding the ball to a 17-year-old. That was not the expectation at the start of the season. That was not at all. We didn't expect Rafinha to be challenging for the Ballon d'Or. That was not the expectation at all. We didn't expect Pedri to this quickly turn into the best midfielder in the world. That was not the expectation at all. So let's give them praise for that. Because, yes, we expected an improvement from Barcelona this year, and we expected them eventually to get back to this level because they are Barcelona. But we did not expect it this quickly. That's why they deserve this much praise.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's
the timeline that makes this so much better.
That's the point of praise, the fact that they're so good so quick. Everybody knew that Barcelona were going to be back at some point.
Over the Galacticos. Over these guys.
And you look at Real Madrid's team, you have all these superstars, but Barcelona have a team, and Barcelona have transformed the situation so quick. It's kind of, I don't want to bring it back to PSG, but it kind of almost looks like it, where they are a team and they transformed themselves so quick. No one was really expecting that. So that's where I think the point of praise is. I don't think anyone was doubting Barcelona to come back to the top level at some point. It's just that it happened so quick that a lot of people are quick to praise it because it is a truly incredible story.
It is.
Fair.
Exactly. Like, just in the same way you guys in this late stage of the Champions League,
this is what I was going to ask.
Relying on young guys like Miles Lewis Skelly, like I was going to say Bukowski, but Academy guys. That's still an incredible praise. That's why we praise Miles Lewis Skelly, Ethan Winery so much, because they're at such a young age and doing things at such an incredibly high level. It's the timeline. It's the timeline there, especially in Barcelona's case, why we're praising it so much and the players that they turn to in those big moments. The level of improvement in this increment of time is crazy.
Fair enough.
Same thing with PSG.
Fair enough.
That's what makes the story so good.
So I want to ask you then, out of the four teams that are left, at the start of the season, if you can remember, rank them, you two, on like who would you have expected to win the most? So one being they were like most highly expected to win, and four being like the least expected to win the Champions League as of right now. At the beginning of the season.
At the beginning of the season.
Beginning of the season, going into it, where would you have ranked the four teams on their chances to win the
And the Champions teams League? Remaining, I would say, by the way, like the top two or three favorites, the top two were definitely Real Madrid and City. I think we can say that.
100%.
Okay. I think we can say
Out of the four remaining, my order is Arsenal, Inter, Barca, PSG.
I'd argue for Inter top, but I think even the bookies had Arsenal as like a top three or top four.
Arsenal were top three at the beginning of the Champions League campaign.
Yes, that doesn't. But still, Real Madrid were number one, and you guys overcame them. So all four of those teams, all four of those teams being there is is incredible for them.
Yeah.
In terms of timeline, Inter probably has the most. Probably the most pressure to win now because of the ages of their players.
Yeah. Probably.
Literally all the other teams have a young core.
Sommer, DiMarco,
Mkhitaryan.
Lautaro Martinez is like mid-20s, but... Yeah.
Bastoni is like, he's a good age, but...
He's what, 26, 27? Yeah.
But that's what I mean.
Great age.
Zielinski's old.
Yeah. Those are squad players, though. They're not regular starters.
I know, but they...
And I'm sure like they're already looking to sign other players, too. They're signing a Marseille player. In the summer, Luis Enrique, his name is.
Yeah,
not all squad players, but yeah.
But yeah, we need to talk about this second half a little more.
Yes.
Because we kind of strayed away from the game itself. A good little argument, though.
58 minutes in.
Really, eh?
Yes.
Wow.
It's okay, though. It's okay. I know, right? It goes by quick when you're talking about...
I think we did do half an hour, half an hour. It seemed like a good half an hour.
Yeah. It does. The second half of this game here, yeah, so... Who's coming out happier of the two teams?
Inter
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Inter 100%.
Yeah, Inter but has
in
to be.
In the second half specifically, I think we need to put praise on how Inter came out and kind of changed the outcome of the game from what it was at the end of the first half.
Shifting the tides.
They were they were drowning at the end of the first half.
They were.
And the halftime completely helped them. Simone Inzaghi, I don't know what he told them in the dressing room, but in the second half, they were doing a great job at taking in the pressure. And sure, their line was very low. Yeah. Blake was mentioning this in the group chat. Their line was very low, but that's how they played, and it worked. The Barella was a great, great, great piece of the puzzle on breaking that team down. Mm-hmm. There's many times in this game where I thought Inter could have gone on the counterattack, and they didn't. I think there's two instances in the first half where... The Barca high line is very high, like
vulnerable almost on the counter, for
almost
sure.
at the halfway line, and Inter can capitalize on it, but they just pass it back. That happens twice in the first half, and I think once in the second half, where I think Inter could have capitalized. But the way that these Inter Milan players came out in the second half and kind of restored the stability of the game, because it looked like it was going to be a 5-2 game at the end of the first half.
Yeah,
Barcelona were nonstop firing.
Yeah.
They were controlling every single part of the game.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said after the second goal went in, I was like, they have to move their line up just a bit, because just to at least like push Barca back just the tiniest bit so that these crosses aren't so direct and deep from the corner position. Mm. But what they did coming out of the second half, they locked in. They continued to have their low block, their low line. But together, like you said, I feel like they shifted well together, and Barella was the outlet that you said could move them up on the counter, and that released the pressure when they did win the ball back.
Yeah. Many, many good substitutions from Simone Inzaghi as well. Fratesi had a great game. Who replaced Carlos Augusto, who replaced DiMarco, I thought had a great game too. Bisek started at left center back for them.
I thought it was great.
He was great.
He's good.
To replace
he's a big fucking body, eh?
He's big and he's really good. To replace Pavard, who's a key piece to Inter's puzzle, it's not an easy job, and I thought he did very well, very composed on the ball, and had a lot of challenges where he came on top of and he came out successful with, and I think he deserves some praise because he's not the type of player that you thought would be starting in a Champions League semifinal against the best attacking team in the world. I thought he did a great job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now we go to the San Siro where Inter are much better.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough, man.
Are there any regrets to be had from any teams on?
I think from this game? I think for Inter's perspective, not to say corner goals are lucky, but I think they have to look at this and be like, we got to assume we're not going to score two more corners in that game.
Yeah.
So the fact that we did is fantastic, but we also let in three. Okay, a long shot, we can cut that out. But the other two, again, Lamine Yamal's goal, it's great, but you let him get inside the box. You let him open up his left foot. You do that, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think from their perspective, there's a lot of things defensively that they're going to want back in the first half. But ultimately, the fact that they got those three goals, they tied it, they're going to back themselves defensively because that's what they've been doing all damn season.
Absolutely.
And I think that they're going to like their chances going into the second leg.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys agree, but...
I think as well. I think they'll be down because you blow a 2-0 lead.
Absolutely.
You're going to be down on yourselves. You're going to be, you know, looking at it a little bit half glass half empty. Half
glass full.
Glass half empty.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, look, we can't be so susceptible to this attack anymore. We can't be. We can't be. We have to go on the front foot at the San Siro. We have to show them our game, and we cannot be so silly in conceding these goals.
Yes.
Inter's defense is much better than conceding three.
That's exactly
much better.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I wouldn't expect the second leg to be as open as the first. Not even close. I still have Inter going through.
Yeah,
I can't lie.
This game kind of reminded me of, I don't know if you guys remember. It was relatively recent, but Atletico Madrid versus Barcelona in the first leg of the Copa del Rey where they tie 4-4.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very open game, kind of like the one we had against yesterday against Inter. But then in the second leg, it kind of closed off and Barcelona just end up winning 1-0 and kind of seal the deal. I think that's what's going to happen again.
Fair.
Fair. Yeah.
Fair.
So if you had to predict the Champions League final right now.
I think the Champions League final is Barcelona PSG.
What a final.
What a final that would be. Not the final I want, but it's a good final.
But by the way,
football wins.
Both Barcelona and Inter.
Football wins if you make it too.
Yeah.
I'm very excited because if PSG do reach the final, yesterday what I saw from Barcelona Inter, what it proved me is that they're both very beatable.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're both very beatable. I think the Barcelona thing is they always just end up scoring one more than you. They always, their attacking prowess is just so good. And that's why I think they're gonna be Inter in the second leg, but you can score a couple past them, and if you get them on the wrong day, I think it's possible. And with Inter, it was proven again by Barcelona because their defense, although is usually impenetrable, Barcelona still scored three against them. So I still think they're beatable. All teams are beatable right now.
That's fair enough. I'm excited. I have to say. I know you guys are probably shitting your pants a little bit for next week's games, but I am so excited.
You're not?
I'm excited, but I'm scared.
Inter-Barca will be on Tuesday, so you guys will know who's going to be in the final by the time you guys are playing your second leg.
I wish we had the home leg, bro. It's two ties in a row. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't capitalize.
It is. I think they're going to change the rules, actually, next year.
Really?
You think?
I think I saw something where the winners or like the top eight of the league phase...
higher seed gets.
That's such a good fucking way to do it.
Yeah.
That's the American way to do it, but it's a good way to do it. Like home field advantage?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Second leg at home.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Which, to be fair, definitely mattered more in like the away rules thing. Which, did away rules count in the extra time?
Yeah.
Away which goals. Is so stupid. Why? So fucking stupid. If away goals counted in extra time.
Oh, yeah.
So stupid. Why? If it goes to extra time, it should just be normal. Because
you have more time away than you do at home.
Which kind of
unfair.
Wishy washy is the point. But now that it's not that way, that it's anyway.
I saw Thierry Henry say that the away goal rule sucks, the new one sucks. Because at 3-3, Inter scored three away goals and
it is 0-0.
It's 0-0 now.
It's fine. I'm used to it by now. I like it, it's fine.
I kinda disagree with him. Because now at the San Siro, you have a final. Like, you have a final before the final.
Yeah.
All to play for. It doesn't matter where it is. Sure, obviously, Inter have a little bit of advantage being at home, but this will be regarded as a final. It's nil-nil.
Yeah. I see both sides. It was in place, obviously, to, like, make the away teams actually attack and not just sit back, right? Mm-hmm. That was the whole point. But I think football's changed enough now where it doesn't really need to be in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never liked the away goal rule anyways. Like, really? Who cares, bro? Like, any disadvantage you think you're getting playing away from home, you're then gaining when you are at home. So, like, it balances out anyways.
That's
like,
fair.
Who fucking cares?
Fair enough.
You know, if you're... Anyways.
Do we want to go to United and Tottenham quickly?
Not even 5 minutes on the Europa League. Sure. Like,
unless are we done with everything?
I think we're done. No, I think we kind of covered everything.
Yeah.
GG's, bro.
Stuff.
Quick predictions for United versus Athletic Bilbao today. It's in Spain.
Draw written all over it.
Does it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's at United? It's in
Manchester? It's at Bilbao.
It's at Bilbao? No, I see. I still think Bilbao can... I have Bilbao winning. I don't know. Do I? Yeah, I have Bilbao winning the tournament. I had Lyon, but unfortunately they're out now.
I want Boros to win. That'd be so fun.
That would be
fun.
That would be very, yeah, very good.
But shout out Bodo, man.
I think Bilbao get the job done.
Couldn't name you one Bodo player.
2-0 Bilbao, 2-0. Eh?
Iñaki and Nico. Fuck it.
Naki Williams in big 2025. It's crazy.
I think not.
No?
I think I don't think he's with Bilbao anymore.
I don't know.
What? He definitely is.
Hold on.
Definitely is.
VAR on the play.
Aduriz.
That's why I said Aduriz.
I don't know if Aduriz is still
there. No, he's retired.
That's a club legend right there.
Yeah.
Their stadium is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, he's still there. He's still there.
Still starting?
As a forward for La Liga club.
Can you give me like the lineup, the projected lineup for today?
Yeah, I got you.
Because like...
I think I'm sensing an Ender Herrera man of the match today.
Stop. Yeah. He's still there.
He's still there.
What? Okay, projected lineups is.
I don't need to know yours.
Oh, I thought that's a Kepa average. Aguirre Bala.
Okay.
I
don't fucking know. Berchiche at left back.
Okay. Yuri.
Remember him? Mr. Yuri Berchiche. Alvarez and Vivian.
Vivian. Great player.
Daniel Vivian.
Great player, Vivian. One of the best center backs in the league this season.
Yeah. Oscar DeMarcos at right back.
Okay.
What? Still.
What?
Still.
Jesus Christ.
A midfield three of Jaru Gizar, Di Galarreta, and Baranguer.
Okay.
He's number seven. Don't sleep.
No, is that not Baron X? Don't sleep. Is there not an X in his name or something?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Left wing of Nico Williams, right wing of Iñaki Williams, striker is Marwan Sanadi.
It's actually kind of like, we need to talk, like, it's crazy that they're doing so good while only having Basque players.
I know, it's like, pretty sexy.
And they've been consistent throughout a lot of years.
It's the system, right?
They have crazy history.
Yeah. It's pretty sexy.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Because it's not all Spanish players either, or all French players either. They have to be part of, like, the Basque.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
The Basque region, yes.
Yeah. There's been French players that played for...
Yeah.
Griezmann. Griezmann played for Sociedad, which is the same thing.
Yeah. Huh?
Lenormand, no?
I think he was...
he was Sociedad
as well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And then the Tottenham game, we predict Tottenham go through.
Don't write off Bodo.
Why, perhaps? I don't know.
I can think of why, perhaps. I think it was a couple years ago. The Tottenham were facing Dinamo Zagreb in a knockout stage game of, I think it was the Europa League or either the Conference League, one of the two. And they just fumbled.
Right.
You remember Orsic? FIFA legend.
Orsic!
Oh, yeah.
Hat trick.
I remember that game.
That was Mourinho's Tottenham, too.
Yeah. You know what? Sure. I don't know.
It's in the history.
Bodo has three players suspended for this game.
Oof.
Their best players, too. Like
Thomas Partey type suspension?
Patrick Berg is a name I kind of recognize.
Patrick Berg?
No, you don't.
Who was their striker that was doing really, really good last year? Really. 2 years
ago? Casper Wurtz.
Yes.
Was it him?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was him.
I cannot see.
Sometimes I'm like, I feel bad that we should not feel bad for not knowing a single player on
Bodo.
On Bodo, we should not feel bad. There are five major leagues, the MLS.
Whoa,
what?
Oh,
five major leagues. I thought you went, the MLS.
There's five major leagues, the MLS.
No. Five big leagues.
Okay.
In Europe, the MLS, and then Portugal, fucking Brazil. I mean, like,
not really. I mean, Brazil on a world stage, sure.
But yeah, not
we're
yeah.
not tapped in.
Portugal, fucking
Belgium,
Turkey.
Yeah, Netherlands.
It's okay. Scotland, the championship for fuck's sakes.
Yeah,
true.
We're good on Bodo. It's okay. There's a lot to know, and if we don't know Bodo, I'm okay with that. If they win, and I know nothing about them, I'm okay with that.
They Norway, they're
yeah
from Norway.
I saw TikTok just as like we can just wrap up, but I saw TikTok. It was like. Bring it back to Arsenal, but it was like, would you, because it's Tottenham related too.
Yes.
Would you sacrifice the Champions League to see Tottenham get relegated? And like, that. They were saying yes. I was like, are you fucking stupid? God, people are so dumb.
Always sometimes. Always complaining about the Tottenham fans, Blake is, huh?
No, this is Arsenal fans.
Oh. Oh, okay.
See what I mean?
To see Spurs, okay.
See what I mean? Fans will be okay with pain if they see their rival struggling.
Those are stupid fans. You'd rather lose the champion, sacrifice
I'm not,
the champion.
I'm not saying that's how I feel.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Not
that's
saying stupid. That's how I feel.
They're stupid fans.
Yeah, that's
it is
silly.
Stupid. It is stupid.
Like, it's like meant, like, you need to get champions
into
insane asylum.
That's the tribalism of football, which
no,
I can sympathize with, but still call stupid.
That's also like satanic. That's like wanting to inflict pain on someone despite like getting personal gain. That's what it is. It's not, it's like there's a word for it. It's like almost like psychotic.
Okay.
Like, you don't care about yourself. You just want others to people
right.
to
do bad.
To do bad.
To fail.
Like, that's mentally ill.
100 men versus a gorilla?
Oh. The more I've seen it, it's 100 men.
No, it's 100
not.
Men.
It's not.
Oh,
we could fit 20 people in this room, and it would be... So, if a gorilla's right here, what is a gorilla going to do if 100 people just fucking fart on
him? Bro, have you not seen, like... videos of gorilla
100%.
Fights.
What if, bro? What if one of those men is like Eddie Hall?
Okay, prime Eddie.
I can pick. I don't even need. I can pick 10 humans to take on a gorilla, and we're winning.
No, bro.
I could.
Are
yes,
you
I
one
could.
Of those humans? Because if so, then
Nicholas Yover.
Then we're cooked.
No, okay, kidding. We're done.
No. Okay, John Jones.
Yeah.
Tom Aspinall.
Bro, it's not. It's not happening. It's not happening.
No.
Eddie Hall.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
Eddie Hall.
I've heard
bro,
geologists
okay.
say that it's like, or not geologists, fuck. Like zoologists say that.
Are we talking like a beefed up silverback gorilla?
Yes.
Or are we talking the average gorilla versus
no,
the average
gorilla
man?
Versus average man?
Okay, then if you say average man, then you can't pick all those super, all those.
Okay, no, you cannot. No, you cannot.
Are we average men?
100 average men?
Yeah, we are.
100 of us, it's over.
Let's
it's
say
it's over for us.
No, for the gorilla.
Let's
no,
say, okay, first of all,
oh, stop. We're not doing that.
Let's set some ground rules, okay? Because first of
we
all,
need to, what
it's a
we
stupid
at?
Scenario. We're at, hold on. I'm still on Fought Mob. We're at an hour 12.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
3 minutes.
So
3 minutes.
Let's set some ground rules, okay? Because out in the wilderness, the gorilla is running away, and this is a moo point. All right? Let's be real.
A moo point?
Okay,
it's a dumb
octagon. An octagon.
It's an octagon, and like the 100 men are dedicated, and they have upset the gorillas, and they have stolen the gorilla's baby.
Okay,
so the gorilla is up
they
for
steal
it too.
His baby,
because that's how
you get the gorilla.
That's how you get the mad. It's a it's a mama bear or not a bear,
a mama
gorilla.
Mama monkey.
Yeah.
Anyways,
100 men dedicated to the cause, ready to die. The gorilla is not making it out.
Also, I heard one thing. I
promise you.
I saw something on TikTok.
Bro, all he does is...
No, listen, though. I heard one thing. Gorilla fights usually last like a minute or a minute and a half because they don't know how to conserve energy. They just waste all their energy and then they're done.
Exactly.
So for it to go through 100 men...
You
unlimited stamina, the gorilla has a chance.
Is it one by one?
No, of course
not. No, it's
not
one by
then,
one.
Then
even if it was one, even if it was one by one...
Why would it be one by one? What the fuck? Then
I saw somewhere that was one by one.
No, it's not one by one, dude. Every argument I've seen is like 100 of us just pile onto him.
Even if it's a one by one, no. The gorilla wins.
But think about it. If a gorilla, okay, let's say a gorilla can do 10 times its weight, okay?
Uh-huh.
Then the gorilla's 400 pounds, that's 4,000 pounds. 100 men times 200, that's
2,000 pounds.
Wait. Yeah, wait.
20,000 pounds. 10 men at 200 pounds each is 2,000 pounds. Times 10.
That's fat men, though.
No, I'm like 180.
All right, so 18,000 pounds if we're doing average man. Average man is 5'10", 180 pounds.
Yeah.
It's me.
So what tells you that the gorilla can just swing his fist and take out five at once?
Because exhaustion exists.
Yeah. God. And I could take a hit from a gorilla.
Yeah.
Okay, relax.
We're wrapping it up on that point.
The first 10 men,
I can take, if
the first 10 men are getting decimated. Decimated. It's going to be blood. It's going to be tears. All right? But if the next 90 aren't rattled,
Oh, they'll be rattled, dude.
Then the gorilla is dying by 1,000 paper cuts.
Okay.
Because it's just going to pass out by exhaustion. And when that happens, then you go. Then
you rip
then 90
off.
Men, then 90 men are all getting
then you
a
poke
point
in
of
the
gorilla's neck and you're freaking pushing
it
down.
No, that's poke wrong. That's wrong. You incapacitate it first. You poke its eyes out.
Yeah.
Then true. You fucking break its fingers. Then you go for the kill. Because you don't know when it's going to get energy back. You want to make sure it can't fucking hurt you.
No. But once it's out, you have to commit all men to just get in there instantly. Because if you poke its eyes out, it's going to be even angrier. All right? You don't want to give it even more. You just want to kill it as quickly as possible. Okay. I think even if it's God, one man so at a time.
Jesus fucking
Christ. No, because I'm fucking... I am
this
so passionate about this.
The
League, men,
right. Semifinal.
The men are winning.
Okay,
I'm so confident.
Okay. Before we go, I just want to say, please, Leafs fucking win today. Please.
He won't be watching,
please,
by the way.
Please,
he will not.
Please, I'm doing a family. To be fair, I actually am putting my family first. It's a family event. I'm gonna have it.
Family
on
first, not fan first.
Yeah, the fuck, family over everything.
I'm just. Little pop.
Fair. But please win. Please win for my sanity. Like, I think I deserve it. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm a terrible person. That's what I thought. Actually, after Tuesday, I literally went to my mom. I said, like, am I a bad person? Like, does whatever higher power or God, like, just hate me to make me go through that day?
Okay. I don't think so.
And then Julian said, yeah, it's fucking, yeah, it's you, yeah, the gods, they, like, I don't even know what the fuck you said. You're being such an asshole. Like, sorry your teams fucking suck and you don't know what winning feels like. So... Like, sorry, it's so hard for you. You're going to win the Europa League. Wow. Like, who fucking cares? You guys suck, dick. Sorry that I have real ambitions for my team to win.
On that note?
They just laugh. Julian's actually one of the worst people I know. Okay. No, genuinely. Like, you guys don't understand. I've thoughts about Julian for my whole life. He thinks he's, like, this cute little guy with a little beard. Like, always does his own thing. He wants to inflict pain and, like, piss you off so hard. He doesn't think he wants to. He may not look like it, but he wants to make you feel like shit. I know he does. He loves it. It fucking... He's a psychotic bitch.
Okay. He's the one. He's the one that should be checked in a mental asylum?
No, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Or maybe it's me. I don't know.
Maybe the latter.
Fuck you. You know what?
I'm poking the gorilla, man.
See?
Poking his eyes out.
Anyways, before we get too crazy, we can cut the episode now.
Yeah, let's end it here.
And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jesus Christ.
Please win, Leafs. Please. Christ. I beg you, please.
This has been another episode of the 6-Yard Box Podcast. We are one half through the Champions League semifinals.
We're going to come back.
And if you're listening on audio platforms, listening on YouTube, whatever it may be, let us know down below in a review or comment who you think is going to be the Champions League final. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and do all those YouTube things. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you have a fantastic week watching the Europa League, if it hasn't already happened by the time you're listening. And once again, we will see you next week. See you out, Blake.
We are out.
See ya.